We're continuing our look at Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 9. Let me read the last couple of verses there. When we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Now, we've been asking some particular questions about this particular passage. We were asking, were Philip's daughters recognized as prophetesses? And of course, we saw that Eusebius' third century church history includes a quote that says, Philip's daughters were buried in Hierapolis, where Philip himself was buried, and they were prophetesses. Now, along with that, we've been trying to answer the question, if they were prophetesses, did they operate in the gift of prophecy in the public services? Because after all, we had two verses in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2 that seem to bar that. 1 Corinthians 14 says, as in all the churches of the saints, women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. And then 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, I permit no woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must keep silent. So we've been asking the question, what was Paul really addressing in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Timothy 2? Was he giving a complete statement that women could never speak in church? Well, if we take a close look at 1 Corinthians 14, we find that Paul is addressing the issue of proper order in the large group gatherings. In verse 26, we read, what then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a psalm or a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done to build up the church. And then in verse 33 of that same chapter, Paul zeroes in on the problem. He writes, for God is a God of not of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So from these passages, it appears that everyone in the church services was participating whenever and however they desired. Multiple messages and tongues were being given without any regard to them being interpreted for the benefit of the whole gathering. Likewise, those with words of wisdom or prophecies were shouting out randomly, and no one was evaluating what was being presented as a word from God. So to correct this disorder, Paul told three different groups to remain silent and wait their turn. In verses 27 and 28a, those with message and tongues are to keep silent if someone else is speaking or if there is no one to interpret. In verses 29 through 31a, a prophet must be silent if someone else has the floor. And then in verses 34 through 35, women, actually wives, should keep silent to show proper submission. So with regard to the wives, it seems that two problems were surfacing. One, some were rejecting the cultural norm to have their heads covered in public worship services. In first century Corinthian society, women who did not cover their heads in public gatherings were signaling their sexual availability or association with idol worship. Two, some were interrupting the process of evaluating prophecies and the interpretation of messages and tongues. In doing so, they were usurping authority over their husbands. So as I said before, it appears that the real issue was not women having a voice in the assemblies or being used in the vocal gifts of the Spirit, but rather proper order and not taking authority over their counterparts. Paul has given us a lot to consider. Join me again next time for more of Verse by Verse.